Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Give us words from your heart to ours, and your mind and your thoughts to our thoughts. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 119. The Word of God says in verse 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." The psalmist loved the Word of God. He loved the Word of God. He loved hearing it. He loved meditating on it. He loved speaking it. He was a preacher. He loved the Word of God. And the receiving of the Word of God was very sweet to him. Like, consider what is sweet in your life. That, like, what is it that you really, when it happens, it just, there's a joy in your heart. This was the Word of God to the psalmist. "How sweet are thy words to my taste." John confessed the same thing when the angel gave him the scroll in Revelation. And the scroll was sweet to his taste, albeit it was bitter to his belly. In other words, he loved it sometimes, but his emotions got stung every so often. And that is the Christian experience. We love the Word of God and it is sweet to us, but sometimes it stings us. And the Savior, although he was victorious in all things, there was one thing where his heel was in fact bruised. And in a manner of speaking, we are like that also. We are the ones who eat the Word of God, but we suffer a bruise in it. We eat the Word of God and it's sweet to our taste. And we enjoy it and we delight in it and we love it and we would never desire it to go away. But it bruises us. It's bitter to our belly. But it has to be. It has to be. You see, there's something about the Word of God that has a powerful effect in my life, where it not only builds, but it also kills. You see, it's a two-edged sword. So it builds me on the one side, and it kills me on the other. And so it is sweet to my mouth and bitter to my belly. And it has to be. You see, the Word of God is the thing that brings me to the cross. And it is the thing that puts me on the cross. And it is the thing that takes me down from the cross. And it is the thing whereby I die. And it is the thing whereby I am risen again. It's all about the Word of God. That cross is extremely important in my life, and it's only the Word of God that can produce it. I cannot produce it myself. I take up a cross, but what that means is I disregard self. But the only way I can disregard self is through the Word of God, once God gives me something to replace self. And so He replaces my self life with God's life through God's Word. You see, the cross was interesting in its structure. It was a vertical and a horizontal. And the death of Christ took place vertically. But the arms of God were stretched out horizontally. And this is what it is for us. The death of Christ took care of us in God's eyes. Towards God, our relationship was restored by that death. But our practical life was restored by the fact that God's arms are wide open. And that's what the Word of God does for me. It brings me there. It brings me to the cross where I receive not just forgiveness, but the experience of what it means to be forgiven. This is why it hurts my belly. Because my soul cleaves to the dust. And I don't experience what it means to be redeemed. And I don't experience what it means to be forgiven unless it hurts my belly. unless that cross is worked into my life, and my emotions will be stung. I will guarantee it. If your emotions haven't been stung yet by what we preach here, then there's something wrong. Maybe it's the message, maybe it's the receiver, I don't know. But if your emotions haven't gotten stung by what is preached in the Word of God in any good pulpit, then there's something wrong. It needs to hurt my belly. It needs to hurt my belly. Because if it doesn't hurt my belly, I won't know the experience of eternal life. I won't know the experience of redeemed. Oh, I'll have it in possession because positionally I am saved. So it is my possession, but it will not be my experience unless it stings my belly. The Word of God is irreplaceable. The Word of God is everything. Yet sometimes believers are casual about the Word of God. They're casual in their approach towards the Word of God. They're casual in their hunger for the Word of God. They're casual in their day regarding the Word of God. There is no sting in their belly. And on Sunday, they may have a sweetness for a season, but they have no sting in their belly. And without that sting in the belly, they don't know what it means to live a redeemed life. They are redeemed people who live the old life. But they don't know what it means to live the redeemed life. They don't know what it means to live on a practical, daily, moment-by-moment basis in eternal life. Because they cannot know. Because only the Word of God can produce that in them. And so God will give me what I am willing. You see, the problem with us believers sometimes is that sometimes we're just not willing. We're not willing to be disciplined academically toward God's Word. We're not willing to make time rather than find time. It's easy to find time because all I do is bump one thing and then another, but after I've bumped so much, I say to myself, well, I have no more time. Then you make the time. Why? Because you are only in time and this little season of time you have is all you are going to get. That's why. And so we make the time for the Word of God every single day because it needs to sting our belly to produce God's life in us. You see, the cross, the flesh will never like it. But the Spirit absolutely delights in it. The flesh won't like crucifixion, but the Spirit just tremendously loves resurrection life. The Word of God is going to sting you. And if it does not, woe unto you. Because you need to be stung, and so do I. You need it to hurt your belly. That's why when they ate the scroll, the belly hurt, but the taste was amazing. The life of it, the nourishment of it is amazing, but the emotions sometimes will take a beating. But it's only so that something new can be produced. God tears down the old to build the new. How many times have you seen some company buy an old, decrepit building in the city and they don't try to rent it out? They demolish it. Why? Because they're looking for a surface on which to build something that is glorious and beautiful and spectacular. Something that has use and purpose and value. The old had no value, but the new does. The old man in the believer has no value, but the new man does. The new man has all of the value of God. Because the new man is that which is conformed in me to His image, to His likeness, to His being, to who He is. So as He is, so am I in this present world. And it's the Word of God that does it. So the Word of God one day will tear down and the next day it will build up. I have to be torn down if I'm going to be built up. The military does that. I was talking to a person recently who was a military officer. And this person told me that in training, when they go into basic training, they say they tear you down. They give you more than you are able. They know that you cannot do it. They absolutely know that you will fail in it, and that is by design. They did it so that you would fail in it. Why? Because they have to tear down that which is soft and that which is weak so they can build up something in somebody. My nephew, when he was in the Navy, he went through their basic training and he said the first half is very difficult. It's brutal. Because it's a head game. They're constantly messing with your emotions, constantly messing with your head, constantly messing with your image, constantly messing with the way you think, constantly messing with you. So they can totally and completely tear you down. Why? They have to build something new in you. They have to build someone who's got guts and character and strength and discipline. And somebody who, as this person told me, somebody who they can trust with a gun when the difficulty comes. You see, the Word does that to us. That's what church is about sometimes. It tears me down so it can build me up. It tears down my old lines and my old thinking. It tears down the way I used to be. And it builds a new man. A man who's made after the image of God, who can wield a sword rather than be killed by one. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. It takes away that which is soft in the wrong sense. And it replaces it with something that is solid. And it has a foundation and a firmness to it. This is the Word of God. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. How do you understand? You understand through the precepts of God. The precepts of God are those elements of the Word that are imparted to me by the Holy Spirit that become an authoritative rule of action. In other words, the precepts of God are when the Word of God is taken by the Spirit, it's weaved into the heart, into the frame of reference, and it becomes the foundation of the government of my heart. It becomes the foundation of the way I think, and of the way I decide, of the way that I feel, and of the way that I respond. It eliminates the negative reaction and brings in a godly response. The person who is built up in the Word of God is a person who's got a solid backbone. It's a person that nothing touches them in the wrong way. It's a person that doesn't get hurt, but that has understanding. They understand what is behind things. They understand what things mean. They have a practical element of wisdom because they have stayed built up in the Word of God. Without the Word of God, there is no wisdom. Because wisdom is all about the Word of God being practical. So how do you make practical out of nothing, out of void? Void is vastly impractical. Void leaves a soul empty and hungry and malnourished. Void leaves a soul cleaving to the dust because there's nothing else to cleave to. Void leaves a soul living in its emotions and it's in its insecurities and its bad self-image. But the Word of God produces new emotions and a new self-image. And so I have understanding when I have the knowledge that comes from the heart of God through His Word about all things. And now I have understanding. I see a circumstance and the circumstance doesn't blow me away. I see a person struggling and I see their need for Christ rather than the life of their flesh. Because I am built up and I am oriented properly to the Word of God. By the way, a person who is struggling, frequently it shows up in their emotions. A person who is struggling, that is not something that I cannot do. I could very easily be there, except for one thing. The grace of God, the government of God that was produced in my heart through His Word. Apart from there is no difference between me and them. Simply the government of God produced through His Word. And His Word is governmental. In other words, I don't need to try to make it governmental. I just need to receive it and it'll do the rest. Receiving the Word of God is everything. It's everything. It is your life. It is literally your life. Literally your life, because the person who has not received life that's imparted by the Word is the very person who's living in the death of the old nature. The Word is literally your life. So many Christians are very unhappy in their lives. It's a maladjustment to God's Word. And some of them will mix faith and they will appreciate through humility what that means in their life. And some of them will say, well, it's not that simple. You don't understand. Oh, perhaps you don't believe then. Perhaps having God's eyes, not through a works trip, and not through an intellectual application of law, which is what intellectual word really is and nothing more. But through the life of the Word, as it's imparted in grace through the Holy Spirit, through meditation, if I have a problem loving somebody, it's not because of them, and guess what? It's not because of me. Why then? It's because I haven't received the love of God. I haven't meditated and pondered the love of God. And how do I do that? I go to God's Word and I say, Holy Spirit, show me Your love in here. Allow me to experience the promises about Your love toward me. I don't need to love You. I need to receive love. And then I will love You automatically. You see, I can't give you what I don't have. But through the Word of God, I receive it. If I am having trouble with it, then that just means I need to receive. I don't need to kick myself or beat myself with a stick over the back or something and say, do better. Oh, get over it. What a lame thought. I need to receive. Like, what have you that you have not received? And what are you going to give that you don't have? That so many people try to give out of an empty pouch rather than a full one. So I not only receive the Word of God, but I receive it in categories of doctrine. I receive it according to what I need. And if I need to be loved, I receive through God's Word the love of God as I meditate how God loves me. Don't start your day without that thought. How God loves you. Not how God loves somebody else and not the details that you have to do today. We've all got details. But you know what? You're not going to take your details with you, are you? Oh, but you don't understand. Oh, but perhaps you need to believe. You're not going to take your details with you. And yes, we're responsible and we take care of our details and we do whatever it is that is set for us to do. I'm not saying we don't do those things. I'm saying we start the day with the thoughts of the love of God toward me. You start it with the love of God toward you. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Everything that is not of God, I hate it. Because through God's governmental operation, I learn to hate that which is not of God. I don't crave it, I hate it. But it only comes through the love of God, through the Word of God, and through the character of the Savior. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. The word there, lamp, is Ne'er in the original language, and this word refers to the lamps of the tabernacle. It's the same lamp that they had in the temple. It was a bowl that was filled with oil, and there was a wick in that bowl, in that oil, and it was lit. And this is the lamp that is unto my feet. This is representative of the presence of God. That's why they had that in the tabernacle. It was the same fire that went before Israel at night as they journeyed through the wilderness. You see, in the wilderness, in the dark times, the Word of God is the light to my feet. It's the presence of God to all that I do. Is the presence of God to all the places that I go and all the things I partake of. You see, this is the same presence that Moses said to God, if your presence does not go before me, don't even take me there. Don't send me, don't ask me. If your presence is not there, I'm not going. This is the lamp unto my feet. It's the presence of God in my life, in the details of my life. And it comes through His Word. That is His Word. His Word is in the details of my life. And it's His presence there. How many can honestly say, in the details of my everyday life, I have the presence of God. I live in His presence. And I am keenly aware of Him. And I'm talking to Him in my heart as I go through these details. Well, that is produced by the Word. That's produced by the Word. Now when I receive the Word in Hebrews 4:16, I have to mix faith with it. Now that's very different than what happens in some cases. Sometimes, it's very possible for all of us to do this, sometimes people take the Word of God and instead of mixing faith through humility, they add it to their intellect. It becomes a source of knowledge for them. Now, if the Word of God is simply added to a believer's intellect, it's not going to profit them, it's going to puff them up. Because knowledge puffs up. But sometimes I take the Word of God in humility because I see my own need. Because I've been broken before God. The person who does not know their need for the Word of God is a person that is in desperate need of being broken by God. Sometimes a person mixes faith, not to get information, but to get transformation. Not to add to their intellect, but to add to the content of their soul. So that the Word of God does go from simple perception to frame of reference to experience. But if all I have done is added it to my intellect, then I have perception without experience, and that becomes an extremely frustrating place to be. I mix faith with what I hear, not in my intellect saying, okay, this is the way it is, now I know. Okay, now I have to produce. No. You receive the Word of God through the Spirit. How do I receive the Word of God through the Spirit? I receive the Word of God in the Spirit of the Word of God. In other words, I receive the Word of God in the foundation of the finished work. My filter for the Word of God is the finished work, if you will. So that it doesn't become a law, but it becomes life. And there I receive it in humility. And it becomes something that is of the Spirit of God. Because I received it in the Spirit. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I have a lamp unto my feet, when I have the governmental precepts, the governmental authoritative rule of action in my frame of reference as my foundation for all my thought, when that is the place, when I have the presence of God in the details of my life, I don't need to ask, what should I do? The Holy Spirit that is alive in me simply tells me what to do. In other words, the Word of God says in John 16 that He will lead me in all truth. He will lead me in all truth. He is alive in me. Why is it that there are some believers who are Spirit-filled and others who are not Spirit-filled? And it doesn't matter what a person looks like on the outside as to whether they are Spirit-filled or not. I can be outwardly carnal and sinful and not be Spirit-filled, or I can be very religious and pious-looking and not be Spirit-filled. How do you know if somebody is Spirit-filled? What comes out when the breaking comes? Is it the fruit of the Spirit or is it the fruit of the flesh? There you know what you're filled with. If something comes and the fruit of the Spirit comes out, I know that I am Spirit-filled. If something comes and flesh comes out, I know that I am flesh-filled. The Word of God produces Spirit-filled. The Word of God does that. When I am Spirit-filled, my life will automatically take a path. And that path to me is the path of life. This is why Jesus said in John 13:10, you don't need to be cleansed except for your feet. Because if your feet are cleansed, you are clean. What is He talking about? If you have the presence of God through the Word of God in the details of your life, then you are sanctified unto God. Do you understand that? It only comes through the Word of God. This is why Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is why it is impossible for me to get out of my flesh without that Word. Because it is only the Word that is capable of transforming the heart and the soul and the mind and the believer into the image of Christ. It is only the Word that is able to do it. Without the Word, I don't have a hope. Without the Word, I can become religious. But my religion will only take me so far, and eventually it will be a frustrating, unpleasant experience. And I won't have the fullness of joy that comes with the presence of the Spirit. Because only in the presence of the Spirit, only there will I experience that peace that passes understanding. Only there will a life with God become joy to me. But if I try to substitute religion with Word, then the best I have is an empty pretense that leaves me just as empty as I was at the beginning when I had no Word and no Spirit. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Only through the Word of God do I have anything at all. I'm made of dust. I'm a clay pot. Either the clay pot is empty or the clay pot is full. But I'm a clay pot. And that's all that I am. And nothing more. John 8:12. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, when I have the Word of God, I won't stumble. I only stumble because the Word of God is not alive in me. But when I have the Word of God governing my life, I won't stumble not as a law, but as life. There's a big difference. I don't take it as law. I take it as life. If any man walketh in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. The light of the world was the Savior, but who was the Savior? Who was the Savior? Revelation 19:13. Who was the Savior? And he was clothed with a vestiture dipped in blood. Who has been clothed with a vestiture dipped in blood in heaven? Only the Savior. And get this next part. And his name is called the Word of God. Do you understand that? I receive the Word of God, and what I'm doing in a very real and practical sense on a daily basis, I'm receiving the fullness of Christ. I'm receiving Christ. This is how the Holy Spirit can lead me in all truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So I am receiving and being led in all those things that are the way, the truth, and the life. And only then, will you have God's life. Only then can you be led in truth. Don't be so proud as to harden your heart toward His Word. Because it's your very life that you're hardening against. And you're not going to find it any other way. Because you're nothing more, and either am I, than a ball of dust. And if you don't believe it, see what happens when something dies. See what it looks like in a year. It's little more than dust. The Word of God, folks. Love it. You say you have convictions, and you do. But what are your convictions regarding Christ? Well, He's my Savior. Really, is He really? Yes, He is the Savior of your soul, but He's also the Savior of your life. Don't you know that that is why He came? Not just to be the Savior of your soul, but to be the Savior of your life. His name is Word of God. I receive the Word, I receive my Savior. How many believers? There are some. I think we have a good crowd in this regard. But there are some out there who say they love God, but won't receive Him every day. They say they love God, but they keep Him at arm's length. You know, you keep God at arm's length, you don't love God. You're fooling yourself. He loves you enough to tell you. Listen when He speaks. You need His Word. You need His Word. God esteemed His Word above His own name. He magnified it above His own character. Because it is the very thing in my life that produces the character in my life. Without the Word of God richly living, dwelling in me, I will not have the character of God. All I can have is the character of a clay pot. That's it. In Matthew 4:3, the enemy attacks. And what does he attack? The first part of Matthew 4:3 says, when the tempter came to him, being Jesus, when the tempter came to Jesus, and in verse 4, Jesus answered him and said, "It is written." It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The tempter comes and he challenges the word. Don't you get it? The number one attack that Satan has, and this is the way it's always been, is to remove the word. A person from who has the word removed from their life is a person who's already become the victim of Satan. It's not that they're being attacked. The attack is long over. He got it. He took it. You're left empty. What do? We take it back. We take it back. We start having a faith response to God. We start having some mental discipline. We get a little bit tough with ourselves. Oh, but I'm so sleepy in the morning. Then wake up. Splash some water on your face. Jog a little. Do whatever it is. Get outside on a cold day. Read on the porch when it's 13 degrees out. That'll wake you up. Hey, don't you know it's the only thing you have? Don't you know your whole eternity depends on it? I'm not saved just by good thoughts and well wishes. Well wishes, is that even right? Well wishing? I'm saved by the Word. But yet people ignore it and avoid it. And don't even like when it should be brought to them. Okay, let's put it very plainly. You're anorexic and you need something to eat, or you're going to die. Your house is on fire. And we look at people who refuse salvation and we say, wow, how crazy. And God looks at us who refuse His word and says, wow, how crazy. You're anorexic and you need something to eat or you're going to die. You can't live with God apart from His word. How am I going to live with God apart from God? Receive His word. Receive it every single day. Receive His word. Love it. Masticate it. Dwell on it. You go in the car. You put in a message. You have a few minutes between classes. You break out your Bible. I know you've got homework and stuff. But somewhere a few times a day, break out your Bible for a few minutes and read a few passages and ask the Holy Spirit to make them life to you. Ask the Holy Spirit to make them life to you when you're reading the Word of God. He will. If any man lacks wisdom, James said, let him ask of the Spirit who gives to all men liberally. That's what you're doing when you're saying to God, make your word life to me. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. You see, in Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they that love your word, and nothing shall offend them. You know what peace is? It's the Hebrew word shalom. Do you know what that translates into? It translates into completeness, soundness, contentment, welfare, prosperity, security, and tranquility. This is what a person has that loves God's Word. Completeness, fullness of joy. They are complete. They don't feel half empty if they don't get a certain external thing. How many people feel without a certain income that they're not quite the man? You're incomplete without the Word of God. You're incomplete without the Word of God. Do you get it? You're incomplete without the Word of God. Do you get it? You're incomplete without the Word of God. Soundness. There is no soundness in me. The Bible says so. That when the Word of God is in me, when it resides in me, then I am very sound. Then I no longer have problems flying off the handle because I'm a ball of emotions. Then I'm no longer a ball of nerves or a ball of anxiety. Because there is soundness in me. Because that is the Word of God. And it's not just some soundness, it is great soundness and great completeness and great contentment. How many young people are not content? Because you don't have the Word of God alive in you. Receive the Word of God and you'll be profoundly content. It'll blow your mind how content you are. You won't know it was even possible to be that satisfied. Welfare. The health of your soul and your heart will be great when you simply receive the Word of God and not neglect it. When you value it like it is your life, because it is your life. People say they love it, but they hold it away. Hey, I love cheesecake. And if you put a piece of cheesecake in front of me, I'm eating it. Why? Because I love cheesecake. But how many believers say, I love the Word, but never eat it when it is in front of them? They have it available, and they don't partake. And I don't think you really love it. Because I know what it is to love something. I love cheesecake. And if that thing's anywhere within a mile, it's gone. I love the Word of God. If it's anywhere near me, I'm eating it. I'm eating it. And it'll be sweet to my mouth, but it will sting my belly, but it'll be a joyous thing to my spirit. Security. Young people. By and large, young people have tremendous problems with insecurity. Sometimes older people do too. And if they find their security in the wrong thing, eventually it'll turn into insecurity. Listen, you want to be secure? Masticate the Word. Indulge in the Word. Eat it up. Make it like all the time, crave it. You know what's amazing about the Word of God? You get a little, you want more. You want more, you want a lot. You want a lot, you want it. It's all you want to do all day long. It is like the best dark chocolate truffle there is, with a little bit of raspberry in it. That's to die for. You get a little bit, you want more, you want more, you want a lot, you want a lot. That's all you want to do all day. But your security will come through the Word of God, the prosperity. Didn't God say, prosper as your soul prospers? Is that name and claim it? No. But you deal with it. That's what the Word says. You'll prosper even as your soul prospers. You figure out what that means. All I know is my Bible says it. I'll become prosperous as my soul is prosperous. In tranquility. I'll have that peace that passes understanding through His Word. And nothing shall offend Michal, cause them to stumble. Nothing shall cause you to stumble. You won't slip, you won't stumble, you won't trip. Nothing causes you to stumble when you love His Word. Why? Because you have a lamp at your feet and a light on your path. That's why. The Word was made flesh. Right? John chapter 1:14. The Word was made flesh. And it dwelt among us. And for some believers, it still does, except now it dwells in us. And some believers, it dwelt among us. But that's all. Because they're empty pots made of clay. Vessels waiting to be filled, but never possessing, because they haven't been filled with the Word of God. To be Word-filled is to be Spirit-filled. It's not possible to be Spirit-filled without Word-filled, because the Word became flesh. And then as the Holy Spirit applies that Word in my life, that's all it means. Being Spirit-filled is simply the Holy Spirit applying the Word of God in my life. And He leads me in all truth. And He leads me in the ways of my Savior. Folks, it only comes through the Word. You want to know God? Get to know His Word. But apart from knowing His Word, you will not know Him. Because that's His name. That's who He is. He is the Word. That's what became flesh. But the believer who is filled with the Word of God has a life that cannot be understood in natural terms. He's the one that experiences God's ways that are higher than our ways and God's thoughts that are higher than our thoughts. He's the one that experiences peace that passes all understanding. He's the one that experiences the fullness of joy. He's the one that when tribulation comes, isn't blown away by the tribulation, but soars as an eagle. Because he has mixed faith with what he heard, received it into his heart, and not just into his intellect, and it has become the life of God in him. Amen?